Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Yeah, there was some communication.
Were you not interested at all, or did you hear them out, or how did that go?
We had a couple conversations, but it was pretty clear that this was, I love what they're doing. I think it has a chance to have success, and I think that's great. And so I think there needs to be a place for a lot of players that are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL players, and there's a chance they're going to be seen. So I think it's awesome, and I think it's good for a lot of guys that are going to get a spot in the NFL roster because they're going to show a team that they're worth it. But for me, this is what I wanted to do.
Tim Tebow right there. And when the XFL was first announced, remember they announced it a couple of years ahead of its launch.
It's been about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, and there was talk at the time about potentially Tim Tebow playing. Kaepernick at the time was a big name that was out there. Eventually, Johnny Manziel became a name. And they didn't land any of these three.
Nope.
All three of these guys were...
The big three flame out fish, none of them.
None of them. And the league is still doing okay. They're still doing fine. But I do think having a big name attached to the league certainly would have helped. And you said something to me in the break because I asked about Kaepernick. And you said, well, you know, he was interested, but he wanted way too much money to go play in the XFL.
That was the story in the AAF. I don't know if the XFL... My guess is that he would probably still want too much money. I don't know if the XFL wanted him or was trying to attract him or lure him the same way they did with Tebow, because they had or made it known that they wanted either just good guys or they didn't want any problems or headaches. So that's why Antonio Brown would never be in the XFL. Maybe that's why there was no interest in Manziel and he's hung it up now. Oh, gee whiz, too bad. Maybe that's why there's no Kaepernick, because they didn't want the controversy, the circus, the dog and pony show. But I think if Kaepernick was serious about playing football again, if he wanted a platform, if he wanted a chance to be showcased, then he'd be in the XFL. Problem is that maybe they think, okay, in our inaugural season, do we really want Colin Kaepernick to be the big story? Do we want him to dominate all the headlines? Do we want him to take away from the fact that we're playing different football, that we have different rules, that we have, you know, 1- and 2- and 3-point conversions, different kickoffs, and a different kind of broadcast. If they're trying to do a more wholesome product, or at least something a little bit different, even though there were people dropping F-bombs the first week and chugging White Claws on the sideline, that's fine. Okay, I get it. But if Tebow was serious about football, he should have gone back. I guess he's happy playing minor league baseball. Where's out of Norfolk?
I mean, how old is he now? Tebow? He's got to be early 30s.
30?
Okay. You know, and the minor league baseball thing.
31.
Whether he's going to punch through and make
it. It would have been a total sideshow. You would have just watched Tim Tebow the whole first year. He would have just put asses in the seats because he's, like Mark James was talking about earlier in Mack and Hat, one of the biggest things to ever take place in Florida and legitimately still a god down there.
He is
32.
He's 32.
32.
So, you know, he's running. I'm not going to say he's running out of time.
Man, that holy water keeps him looking young.
Absolutely. He looks great. By the way, last night, I'm watching TV super late, and a TV commercial comes on, and it's literally they're giving away holy water. So these people come on, they're like, I prayed for 7,000.
What channel are you watching?
I was watching Everybody Loves Raymond at like 2 in the morning. I have a puppy at home that we're breaking in, or I'm breaking in because I'm by myself now, okay? And so I was up with the puppy, and there's a holy water commercial, and some lady's like, I prayed for $7,000, and then I drank the holy water, and a check came in the mail.
What?
Like, I've never seen never seen anything like this. Another one said, I was having problems paying my mortgage, and then I got a letter that said, I don't have to pay my mortgage anymore. I drank the holy water. I've never...
Drinking holy water?
Yeah, yes.
Is this sounds like TB12 water?
I was going to say, is this the concussion water?
It's something that quite possibly could be a scam, I think. But
are you sure?
Just a little bit. I don't know how we got to holy water, but I will
doesn't
say
doesn't matter.
This.
It's hour number. It's hour three. It's after six on a Saturday.
We
on
can
the
do whatever
Balls
we
guide.
Want here.
We can do whatever we want.
Kaepernick, you are right. If Kaepernick were serious about wanting to come back, I'll tell you right now, the curiosity factor alone, each and every week that he's on, people would have been glued to the TV.
Absolutely. Week one, you would have had borderline, like, lousy Thursday night football ratings to watch Colin Kaepernick take the field again. Oh, he's good enough to play pro football? Let's see. Got the funny football with the X on the front of it. Got these crazy plays, two forward passes. You can go for three. Let's go for it. Let's see. Let's see what's going on.
And when it comes to Tebow, something tells me that if and when the XFL comes back for year two, he may be interested. I don't think that Tebow, because he's got his media career going, he's got the baseball thing going, he's got a lot going on. So something tells me that Tebow doesn't want to attach himself to something that might be a fly-by-night type of operation. He doesn't want to attach himself to something that might be questionable. If he's going to attach himself to something, he needs to see that it's a successful product before he lends his name and face to it. So if the XFL really does continue this trend, I can see him going and maybe potentially playing football again a year or two from now.
But if he goes to play football again, to what effect? Does he think he's actually ever going to make it back to the NFL? I mean, you know when he played for the Patriots? 2013. That's how long ago it was that Tebow was throwing passes at people's ankles in Foxborough. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Better than a lot of NFL players.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's the Oddballs. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Jay. Jay's in Salem. Jay, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good to check in. Just real quick. I would love for the XFL to come to New England. I've been so far, I almost hate to say the first word, but Houston Roughnecks fan. I just think that you can't go wrong. I mean, how could it go wrong?
So, Jay, what attracted you to the Houston team in particular? What was the reasoning for sort of attaching your fandom to that team?
Just checking them out. A part of it was, my app was sketchy, so they were the only ones I could get. But cause I don't have a TV, so I have to listen to it on the radio, and it's not on the radio. So, they've been doing a good job. I've enjoyed listening to the games. I've listened to other teams as well, but they kind of stuck out above the bunch for a little while. So far, anyway.
Okay. Jay, you are exactly who I am targeting and talking about when I say that the XFL would have worked here in the bleak New England midwinter, because how hardcore a football fan is Jay? He listens to the XFL on the radio.
Houston Roughnecks fan.
Attaboy, Jay. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, it worked. Hey, you know, how about the Merrimack Valley, Marauders or Minutemen or something, you know?
Well, my idea, Jay, was... if we were going to get a team here in the Boston area, they would be called the Massachusetts Holes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Right?
That's not bad at all.
Come on.
You can have fun with it, right?
You couldn't wrap your fandom around the Mass Holes?
Of course you could. And that's something we embrace here, right? Absolutely.
Terrible attitude.
Nothing wrong with that. They're all staunch like Belichick out there.
I was going to say, the mascot could have just been a guy with like a Dunks cup and a butt in his head.
Yeah, I just wonder, and again, Jay's one of these guys, and you're one of these guys as well, and I think, you know, as a dad and somebody that's got kids, and I like to take them to as many events as I can, I think that would be something that would be cool to have as an option around here. Right. Especially, you know, when you go to a Celtics game, for me, it's a $500 event to take my kids between parking and food and tickets. Patriots game, family of four, it's even more expensive than that.
XFL tickets, $30. Guess what else they're doing? Making it super fan friendly, in so much as if you want to bring the kids to the game and have access, like you saw, you I don't know if you've seen the video of like people in the stands, like chugging drinks with some of the players after the game. The NFL is so, they like to talk about being so fan friendly and the access and the connection between players. It's so hard. You can't, unless you get a quick autograph in training camp when you're out there in the throng of fans out in Foxborough or wherever else, the access to the players is nil. Zero, nada. They come in, arms reach, security around them, done with the game afterwards. You see them pulling out in their expensive European cars or their souped up mega trucks, and that's that. But here, they want that kind of access because they need to grow their fan, and that's what they're going to pride themselves on. They got to grow the fan base, and they got to keep people connected. And hey, I still think it would have worked personally. I think people would have gone to it. It would have been something different, but it's a major commitment. And where were they going to play? Obviously, I guess they would have played in Foxborough. What are they going to do? Play at Brown Stadium?
But that's the problem, though. They couldn't play there. And if the Revolution ever got their own stadium, that would be the perfect place for them to play. Because if you put an XFL team in a 50,000-seat stadium, it's going to look empty with 10,000 people there.
That's why they're playing in soccer pitches.
Exactly. So if the Revolution ever actually get the stadium that's been rumored forever, that's exactly where the XFL team should play.
It always bums me out whenever I see, and I love the fact that the Patriots are committed to and invested in the Revolution, but and yes, this is XFL and soccer talk on a Saturday night, but you know what? Who cares?
Who cares?
We're having fun and hanging out. Later on, we'll talk about Patrick's divorce and what Chinese food my wife asked me to pick up on the way home.
You know, I purposely have stayed away from that topic because every time I do, you bust my balls about it. So it's like,
I can't help it.
I stay away from it.
Well, it's real. I just want to see them play in a proper sized stadium. That's all I could ask.
What
just
about
play
the DCU Center in Worcester and be a dome team?
Well, then that's going to go arena. That's where the Pirates play, right? Yeah. So that's going to be Arena League football, which is a different game altogether.
Yeah.
Maybe they could play. Who knows? Maybe they could play where the Woo Sox are going to play. Maybe that would be big enough for them.
Maybe.
Put them in Fenway. What the hell?
Why not? And again, that's the thing. If you had a team here, if the league said we want a team in New England, we want a team in Boston, they could find a place for them to play. I love the idea of doing it, and you're right about the fan-friendliness part of it. In a previous life, I was a PA guy for a minor league baseball team. And I got to tell you, those guys worked so hard to interact with the fans before the games, after the games. They had special fan interaction events. If a fan wanted to get down on the field to take a picture, no big deal. These guys would sit with the fans. They appreciated the fact that they got 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 people out to watch them play minor league baseball. And they embraced it and they loved it. And I feel like the XFL is taking that minor league baseball approach.
Now, you mentioned earlier, what's the best case scenario? That the NFL turns the XFL into a D league, or that they just absorb them, much the same way that the NBA did when they purchased and absorbed the ABA years ago.
Yes.
Little known fact, first project I worked on out of college, long before I ever got into the Fitzy stick, but when I was still as diehard a Pats fan as I was, I worked for a company called Black Canyon Productions. They produced incredible sports
porn.
Documentaries. sports porn, if you will, for the old hardo. And the documentary I worked on was called Long Shots, The Life and Times of the ABA. That's weird to say long shots coming out of your porn joke. I apologize.
It's
Commonwealth.
Fine. It's fine.
It says WEI after all. Let's class it up, Fitz.
That's it.
So I worked on Long Shots, The Life and Times of the ABA, and it was awesome seeing how much they struggled, how fan-friendly, how crazy they were,
yep,
and all their barnstorming and all their promotions and innovations. But guess what they added to the game? The money ball, which you see, of course, in the three-point contest,
yep,
the three-point shot, the slam dunk contest, the fan interaction, so much of what takes place now that you love about the game that's at the core and the heart of a fan-friendly, upbeat NBA experience came from, including Dr. J, the ABA. And I hope that maybe as football certainly hasn't gotten stagnant, but as the game continues to evolve and gets faster and quicker and wilder and bigger and stronger and better, maybe some of the things that hopefully will pan out with this offshoot alternate league this spring will ultimately find their way into the NFL to give it greater life unless, of course, everyone decides I can't watch people getting into 3 hours of human car wrecks anymore.
And again, you know, what excites me about it, and it's not going to happen for this, but the possibility is there. So right now, we have been consumed with this Tom Brady thing. But let's say that Boston or New England had an XFL franchise, and Jared Stidham got to start every week all spring long for the XFL team here, preparing him for next season with the Patriots.
You groomed, if they had a transfer system where right now, all of a sudden, like, oh man, I don't know if Brady's going to be ready or not. Well, don't worry. Stidham's going out there and he's going to get a chance to play a couple of games,
right,
so long as he's still healthy. I see the potential
of that. I love that idea.
You were good in college. We still don't think you're ready, but we don't want you to just get rusty, and practice reps may not be good enough. Go play four games.
Yeah.
Go play four, six, or eight games. Like, they're talking about, if they go to a 17-game schedule in the NFL, and we still got to get into this, that there may be a mandatory player bye week, that you will only be allowed to play 16 games. So everyone will still have their precious 16-game stats, so it won't queer the stats that everyone holds to be so sacred in the NFL. Plus, people won't get hurt. Or maybe they'll actually play all 17 games. Who knows?
Well, don't they have to almost do that because financially, a lot of these contracts that have been previously signed were signed based on a 16-game season.
Correct. And this whole thing I read about, every player can get up to 5% of their salary, up to $250,000 extra for a game. If I'm Odell Beckham Jr., A, maybe I stop wearing $200,000 watches on the field. But B, if I'm making $19 million a year or whatever, absurd $16 million a year to play wide receiver, why am I just going to take, that's $1 million a game. Why am I going to say, okay, fine, I'll pass on that fourth preseason game in exchange, I have to play a 17th game for one quarter of what I usually get? Hard pass.
It doesn't.
Hell no.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of this. I don't think, put it this way, in my real world, one of the real sort of rules that we have to follow if you're in the sales game is, if your customer is thriving, if your customer is working, if what you're doing is actually, you know, creating success for your customer, you don't mess with it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that young salespeople try to do is they're comfortable with a customer that's feeling that sort of success. So that's a customer that you feel comfortable potentially messing with, when that's the last thing you should do. Things are going well. You check in, you say hello, but you don't mess with success. The NFL right now is the most successful league on the planet, and they're tweaking it, and they're messing with it. And if they want to do that, you know, when it comes to the fan experience in the game,
because it's greed, guy.
But they're adding playoff teams,
because no one cares about preseason game four, but everybody may want to go to a 17th game because it's one more to go to, right? Even though going to a game is a pain in the ass and it costs so much money, it's ridiculous.
Don't mess with success. Nothing else for the NFL has been, it's been more successful than any other sport in modern times.
And I'm with you, but I can't wait to disagree with
you. They're going to screw with it. So let's take a phone call here. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's go to Harry. Harry's in Quincy. Harry, you're next up here with
Hello,
the Oddballs.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
Harry, what's up, guy?
50, I like to say it's a lot nicer and easier to listen to you right now than it is with those guys that scream all around you. I want to say about the XFL and fan-friendly, like you said, I've been going 25 years, Patriots. There's no fan-friendly around there. You don't get to the teams. But I like the idea of drinking beers and passing the pipe, maybe a little hoops with the players. Maybe we can change it up.
Why not, right? Why not have – yeah, listen, it's legal. The green is legal in the Commonwealth. Why can't you – at the end of a – you know, at the end of a Massachusetts or Boston XFL franchise game, why can't you rip a little medicinal, huh? Harry, what happened?
We lost his phone.
Oh, shoot.
It's tragic. It's tragic.
I like it. But hey, listen, he was into the idea. And appreciate you listening, Harry, and thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Why not, right? Now, this whole thing, though, about the game 17 in the NFL, I think they're asking for so much trouble. And I can't see them getting past it. Everyone, J.J. Watt, his first tweet about it, an extra NFL game, hard pass. Richard Sherman, as vocal as he is, now that he's finished cleaning off the burn marks from his Super Bowl 54 pants after he got torched in the fourth quarter, he's against it. No one single NFL player. Nice drop, Dylan. No one single NFL player, I believe, is going to come out and say, "Yeah, we should." You know what we should do is play another game, because no, it's like a it's like a middle school dance in, you know, the final preseason game. You're basically just watching the teams, you know, the battle for spots 52 and 53.
But isn't that important? Isn't that battle important? And I feel like we're not taking that battle seriously enough. And again, when you go back and we talk about Stidham, Stidham is a guy that if Tom Brady does come back and play for the Patriots next year, if he does, I still, because we know that Brady's near the end, I want to see Stidham play. I want, and your opportunity to see him play is mainly in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So those games
where
matter.
He looked good.
Absolutely. And, yeah. He looked okay. I mean, and these opportunities matter for those types of players, and they should matter for the fans. And again, here, you know, this extra game, what's going to happen the first time that a major player goes down with a significant injury because of this extra game? It's adding another layer of risk to a game that's already full of almost too much risk to begin with.
Can you imagine how pissed you would be if you finally made it to the NFL and you go down with an injury in an extra game and it's in London?
Unbelievable.
Would that just be worst case scenario? Like, I'm far from home. I'm in this stupid extra game. Now I get hurt here. There goes my chance.
And it's just like that.
And it goes out just like that. You mentioned Stidham, and I like the whole idea of tying, like, the chance to maybe develop and get some of these guys. Might be a great way when you draft a rookie quarterback who isn't ready to get in to maybe go get some seasoning. But then again, those are extra games, too. Let's just do it. I mean, listen, at this point, we can't just keep going around the same circles and playing the same games and get reaching the peak levels of Brady watch fatigue that we have. Why don't we just do it? Let's just get it out there. Who do you really want to quarterback the team this fall? Who do you really want to quarterback the team this fall?
I want Tom Brady to. I'm not.
Do you really?
I do.
You want Tom Brady?
I want the Patriots to sign Tom Brady
okay.
to a 3-year deal because I don't want to go through this next year and the year after.
Okay.
I want him.
So would I.
Okay.
Okay. So would I. All right. So let's say the Jeff Darlington reports are true then, and we should start mentally preparing ourselves for Tom Brady to move on. Who do you want to quarterback the team? Let's both play Saturday night GM. Who's the quarterback of the team if Tom Brady is not next fall?
I will tell you when we come back.
Kick rocks with the Tanisant socks.
I'll tell you when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
If we were going to get a team here in the Boston area, they would be called the Massachusetts Holes.
More of what you want to hear, the Oddballs, with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
It's as if people think it's so unfathomable that he would leave New England, and as a result, they just sit there and say, it's not going to happen. Where we need to wrap our heads around the idea of Tom Brady leaving, because he is considering exactly that. That is not speculation. That is fact. And whether they can get on the same page in the next 30 days, that is the Patriots and Tom Brady, and
yes.
figure this thing out, and it is a tall task from a number of different levels. Unless they can figure it out in the next 30 days, Tom Brady is gone.
I remember when I lost my mind. Another definitive statement. And that's part of my frustration that we opened the show with, Fitzy, is that the definitive statements that people are making. There's one right there. Fourier mm-hmm. had a definitive statement. Everybody's making definitive statements, but their definitive statements are based on their personal opinions, and people take them very seriously. And again, I'll ask you the same question that I asked you to start the show today. Name me one person outside of the four walls of the Brady residence that knows what Tom is going to do.
His agent.
Okay, maybe.
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 No, but maybe he's only tipped him off. I mean, I think they are airtight. I don't think they want to let a lick out. I don't think they want anyone to have a clue.
I think there's a chance Tom doesn't know right now.
Nope. No, how about, you heard that clip? You heard the clip earlier this week when Ben Affleck, who took Kellerman to task on Worst Take on ESPN earlier this week, he said he's in a group chat with only Matt Damon and Tom Brady. And he texted him and said, okay, Tom, tell us the truth. What's the deal? Are you going to be the quarterback of the Patriots next year or what? And Brady texted back the shrugging guy emoji. That's it.
He has no idea. He has no idea. I don't think Tom Brady
Batman
really knows.
Batman couldn't get the information from Brady.
I just don't think he knows. I think that there's a reason why he wants to go on the tour. There's a reason why he's curious to see what he's really worth in the open market. You know, right now his agent's probably telling him X, Y, and Z teams are in for this much, but until it becomes real and pen gets put to paper and he actually sees that not only is he getting the money he deserves, but some team is willing to go 2 or 3 years and show him the respect that he so desperately craves right now, that's what's going to be, I think, what makes or breaks this thing. I think there's a chance where if a team goes out there and gives him 2 years, $60 million, well, that's $30 million a year. So why wouldn't the Patriots at that point go 3 years, $90 million? That's that third year. I think that additional year, whoever comes in with the most guaranteed years, is going to be the winner here in the Brady sweepstakes.
Somebody is going to put together, it's going to look like a three-year, $100 million contract. That's what they'll say
it is. But the third year is junk.
Third year is going to be complete junk, and it's going to be too guaranteed for, you know, the Raiders 60. So if the Raiders say, oh, we're going to give Tom Brady a two-year, $60 million deal, what they're going to offer him is 3 for $90 and guarantee 60.
So
I mean, Kirk Cousins got 3 for $84, fully guaranteed money.
Fitzy, is Tom Brady worth $30 million a year to the New England Patriots right now?
Yes.
Why?
Even though I think they should have offered him the Drew Brees deal last year, and then we wouldn't be in this position
exactly.
Right
I'm
now.
With you 1,000% there.
Really? Why? Because of the continuity? Because it'll give them time to groom Stidham further if they really believe he's the guy, or it'll give them a chance to pick somebody else up in the process. It'll give them the best chance they have to win while they still have the veteran players on that defense, which is aging pretty quick,
it
by
is.
The way.
Yep.
And Tom Brady represents the best chance with the coaching staff they have, with the return of McDaniels, everything. Last year, like I said earlier in the show, and I'll keep banging on this drum, of the many different drums I keep in my Tom Brady and New England Patriots percussion set, this particular drum is, they tried, and things just didn't go their way.
You asked me a question before we went to the break, and you asked me if I would rather have Tom or Stidham going into next year. And it almost sounded to me...
Well, yes, who would you rather have ultimately? But if you can't have Brady, I want you to just... Why not? Throw stuff against the wall. I want to hear your alt or your backup plan.
If I can't have Brady, I don't know, because I don't know anything... I mean, is Dak Prescott available? Did Brady go to the Cowboys?
He will not be.
That's what I'm saying.
Dakota Prescott will be playing football for the Dallas Cowboys.
He will be. And here's the problem.
They would be insane to give up on Prescott now because of his exorbitant contract demands, and then all of a sudden say, hey, we'll just get Tom Brady in here for 2 years. Because then you got to draft somebody else and groom them.
Right.
And it becomes a whole process.
I mean, when I look at the Patriots and I look at what's in their best interest right now, I can't see Julian Edelman being comfortable with another quarterback right now. And he is your most talented offensive player, not named Tom Brady. You still have to put a competitive team on the field here for the short term. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure Jared Stidham does that for you. I've heard people that I find relatively intelligent talk about this team still winning 9 or 10 games with Stidham as their quarterback next year because Matt Cassel won 11. But look at the talent that Matt Cassel had on that damn team.
He had basically the team that just went to the Super Bowl coming off of a perfect season, and they went 11-5. And by the way, that team going 11-5 and missing the playoffs is one of the many reasons why I support the new 7-team extra wild card game playoff format in the NFL.
But we can't go back in time and put the Patriots in the playoffs.
I know we can't, but they would have made it. I'm just saying that's one of the points. If you go back over the last 20 years, you could see that they would have been one of the 10 teams that won 10 or more games, one of the 8 or 9 teams that won 10 or more games and would have made the playoffs.
Is watering down the playoffs
it's
really?
Not watering
of course
down
it
the
is.
Playoffs.
You're putting non-playoff teams in the playoffs. It defines this watering
past year,
down.
This past year, you would, by the old system, yes. But by expanding it, you increase the value. Here, let me make.
You're making me go insane right now.
Ah, please. Making you go insane. You've got plenty of other reasons to go insane. One. You place a higher priority on the bye. It's the only league of the four major American sports that has a bye. And not only just one, they have two. Two teams get byes.
But the other sports get all-star breaks. So they get their time off, too.
But they have a bye week as well. You have a bye week played into the season. It's a 17-week season with 16 games.
I get it.
You get your bye week.
You get your bye week. I get that.
Okay, well, now it's going to make that more important. You're going to increase the quality or at least the competition of play towards the end of the season. Yes, I understand if you're targeted for the 2 or the 3 or the 4 seed, then maybe you're going to use week 16 or week 17 as a playing bye where you're going to start resting players because you'll have to use that as a de facto bye week. Okay, but you're also going to have X number more teams jockeying for positioning, trying to get home games, or trying to make the playoffs because now, instead of just six teams being locked in, you could have 7, 8, 9, 10 teams all playing to make seven playoff spots in week 17. That, to me, makes for more exciting football. Plus, since I'm the junkie who referred to the XFL as a discount methadone for my football addiction earlier today, why the hell, on the second best weekend of football on the calendar, would I not want a 1 o'clock game to go with my 4:30 and 8 o'clock games on Wild Card Weekend?
Well, seeing that the Tom Brady era in New England may be coming to a close relatively soon here, Fitzy, adding that additional playoff team, I guess, may help the Patriots if they're an 8-8 type of team. I get it. I see where you're going. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys here at 617-779-7937. Let's grab another call here. Let's go to John. John's in the car. John, you're next up here on WEEI.
What's up, guy?
Hey, hi, gentlemen. How you doing? I just think your takes about the reason why Brady isn't going to end up on the Patriots is just not accurate. It's not going to be about the number of years. It's not going to be about who pays him the most money. If you got $60 million to come back to the Patriots for 2 years and had two poopy years like he did this past year, that's not what he wants. Give him $20 million and let him have two seasons like he had in 2007, and that's how he wants to go out. It's about people. And,
yes.
And that's not, it's not about money. So they've got it. The reason why they haven't made Brady an offer yet isn't because of the money. It's because they don't know just yet what they can offer him. Once they make a trade behind the scenes for maybe a Stephon Diggs or even what I thought today, maybe a Danny Amendola, a couple of days before the trade deadline, they'll tell Tom, hey, here's the deal. $20 million for 2 years. We got Gronk's coming back. We got Odell Beckham coming here. We got, and that's what we can do for you. So, but they haven't made him an offer because they don't know, they don't have that, all those in play yet.
Yes, that's right, John.
Money, guys.
Yeah, John, I hear you 100%. I don't think it's about the money either. Earlier in the show, I said that I don't think it's about the money necessarily for Brady, because even though we're in no position to talk about what 5, 10, 20 extra million dollars on a deal or in his life would do for him, because $1 million would change the lives of you, me, probably everyone, Tyler, the producer, everybody. But Dylan,
absolutely,
the producer, excuse me, it's more about the fact that Tom wants to be able to play the kind of football that he wants. And I don't believe it's true that Belichick tried to subvert him last year.
But guys, last year, hold on, I'll let you finish.
Go ahead.
But last year, Brady had a pretty good idea when he was negotiating with the Patriots that Gronk wasn't coming back at that time. Okay, and he knew what sort of talent that he had around him, and he was still asking for a multi-year deal. So I understand what you're saying here, John, that he wants the talent around him, and he wants to play that way, but he was still looking for a multi-year deal last year with the Patriots, despite the fact that maybe they weren't the most offensively gifted type of team.
You're absolutely right. That's what he wanted last year. That's what he wanted before he had a poopy season. Now it's not about what he wanted last year. It's about what he wants this year. And what he would want this year is to have a phenomenal season to help enhance his TB12 and to have all these people that said he should have retired and that he's no good anymore, to tell them to go and take a powder. It's not about it. It was about years last year, but it's not about years this year. Don't be surprised if he's coming back to the Patriots on a one-year, $20 million deal, and right after they announce that, you hear all of these talented players that are coming offensively to help him, because that's his goal. If you could give this kid the veteran minimum, tell him he was getting A.B. back, Gronk, Odell Beckham, and some other top-flight receiver, and he's all in. He wants to showcase his talents because of his ego. It's not about the money, guys. It never has been. It isn't going to be this year.
All right, John, I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff.
Not disagreeing with John to that degree, and that's what I said earlier in the show.
Oh, so he'd play for the veterans minimum right now if he had all the talent around him. Please. Please.
Phil Perry had put out there earlier that a couple weeks back that the best-case scenario, it's not going to be like, let's wait until we get to the time when we have to start pitching Tom on a contract. Try to woo him early. And the best word, the key word isn't guarantees. The key word isn't multi-millions. The key word is trades. Try to pick up a wide receiver like a Diggs or a Beckham. Make some calls. See what you can offer. Mortgage the picks. Convince Brady to come in. and see if you could contact the Falcons and say, guys, listen, you know, we gave you solid last year. We gave you a two for Sanu. We know you can't afford Hooper. You're not going to be able to. They're the most cap-strapped team in the NFL. Here's a good pick. Maybe next year's number one for Hooper. You guys tag him. Send him up to us. That way we're guaranteed to hold on to an elite tight end this year. Negotiate a multi-year deal with Austin Hooper. Then you bring in speed on the outside and a great tight end for Brady to throw to and say, hey, buddy, look what we did for you. But it's going to be hard to do that because if then Tom says, nah, I'm still going to Vegas or I'm still going to Tampa. Now they're going to be stuck with a broken defense. Not a lot of because I say that because I think Van Noy would leave. I think Jamie Collins would potentially leave. Who knows? Maybe McCourty would be like, ooh, Tom's right. Not here. I'm out of here.
Yep.
And you're going to have a couple of expensive guys on offense with a second-year quarterback who's thrown four passes in the NFL.
And suddenly the Patriots are forced to play on day one, day two of free agency, where usually the Patriots sort of take a step back. They let all the other teams spend all the money, and they wait for the B, C, D level talent to sort of fall to them.
Right. What does Dola jumping on a deal with Detroit this early tell you about what's going to happen with Brady? What's the first thing that jumps to your mind? When you hear today, because according to Peter Schrager, Danny Amendola is re-signing for another year with Detroit.
What do I think? I think that Danny Amendola is tight with Tom Brady, and he has got a little birdie has told him that he's not going back to New England because Danny Amendola was the perfect candidate to come back here for short money with Tom Brady.
Now, see, to me, that's the biggest indicator that Brady might be coming back because if Amendola's like, oh, Tom, listen, I would have gone with you anywhere. I would have been your slot receiver in Tampa. I would have gone with you to the Titans. That would have been fun. I've always wanted to go to Nashville. I'm single. I probably could have cleaned up in and out of the stadium. Would have been great. You going back? You know what? I went to a bunch with you there. We won a couple. That's cool. You know what? I'm not going to move my stuff. I'll catch passes from Stafford. I'll earn another $4 million. I'm good.
I like the way you think. I just don't think it's realistic. It is Sports Radio WEEI.
The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
So as we spin it forward, let's just live in a world where this is his last home game in New England and someone else is the quarterback of the Patriots next year. Who should it be?
I'm going Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton's a guy who's had a lot of experience, a lot of success in this league. I think he fits the mold. I think he's still a mobile quarterback. He's going to be available. I think Andy Dalton's a guy that I would go with because he has experience in this division.
Bobby, what do you think?
Final segment here. It's the Oddballs, Fitzy and Gilroy. Still some time and room for you guys at 617-779-7937. You all right there, Fitzy?
Yeah, I was just, I like that song.
Okay.
I was just asking, my type? I like that. That's, ooh, I like
it. You
like
this song?
I do.
Can you hear it? Can you picture yourself coming out on stage to this? It's Fitzy time.
Ooh, I like it.
There it is.
My Type by Saint Motel.
You got to add this to the playlist.
Oh, that's right in the car. I
believe that's it.
I'm a sucker for a good instrumental jam. Something that sounds a little it's contemporary, but a little retro.
There you
or
go.
Retro with a little contemporary flair.
You could say it either way.
Rotemporary? Contemptro? It's contemptro.
You know.
No, contemptro is what my wife holds me in every night.
I think you could define Andy Dalton as retro with a contemporary flair.
Oh! Look at the segue on this boy right here.
That's what I do. I just earned all my money.
Right. All right, so Bart Scott there. I mean, what Bart says, who gives a flying flip about that? All right, let's say the emotional nuclear winter sets in. It is the apocalypse. The Tompocalypse. He's gone. Who's quarterback? Which way do you want to see the Patriots go, and who quarterbacks the team in 2020?
I'd like to see the Patriots trade for a guy like Derek Carr that I think is underutilized where he currently is.
You should be fired.
I think that he has got a tremendous amount of talent, and I think that if put in the right system where you can limit his mistakes because he becomes more of a system quarterback, he could be somebody that is at least a decent bridge guy. I'm terrified of a guy like Andy Dalton. I want nothing to do with him.
Everyone hates on Andy Dalton. Just because of the last couple of years in Cincinnati. All right, fine. I don't think he's terrible, but he's also not. The problem is you wouldn't get him for free. You'd have to trade for him. And Cincinnati would hold you for at ransom, at gunpoint, to try to get him. Because, A, I'm sure they're a little hesitant. They're in no rush to deal with the Patriots and help them. even though they would probably love something for him if they're going to pick Joe Burrow. You can't convince me it's worth trading a third-round pick, which is going to be so essential to the Patriots growing post-Brady, for Andy Dalton. I would say I'm not in on the Mariota thing. Come on, that's enough. Not Tannehill, because you're going to have to pay him, and I still think he very well may get tagged in Tennessee as well. Teddy Bridgewater's going to cost too much. I think he's a great fit in Carolina. Just go Stidham. Just go draft another guy.
It sounds like you're just giving up.
No. I would have more fun rooting for the team next year if Brady leaves and a bunch of other veterans like Colin says, I'm going to go cash in elsewhere, chase another championship, and Van Noy gets paid somewhere else, and Devin McCourty says, Coach, it's been an honor. What a run, but I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to sign with the Eagles for 2 for $15 or something like that. I would say just run with the draft, new young guys, give Stidham a little talent and say, hang him high and let him fly.
Be careful what you wish for, Fitzy. That's all
I'm
going to
say. We've had it so good for so long.
So, but the moment it goes away, you're going to sit here and regret this conversation.
I said, if we don't get Brady, are you going to tell me that fortifying Andy Dalton with a couple of trades, some draft picks, and the veteran talent you have around him is going to give you 10-6?
No, but I think you
or
have
win
higher,
the division
with the new playoff format. 8-8 might get it done, right? So who knows? That's what you want to happen. 8-8, Andy Dalton gets it done. How about a guy like Cam Newton?
All right,
is there a renaissance season?
Zero chance.
In Cam Newton.
I see Cam Newton maybe going to Chicago unless for some reason they're still in on Trubisky, which is insane. Producer Dylan, why not? I mean, listen, we're living in a strange world to begin with. Who do you got?
So listen. Jameis Winston, if you want to have a fun team next year. He just got LASIK eye surgery. The picks are going to come down. If you give him Belichick, it'll go down to like 15 from 30, which is...
Is he going
to
steal all the crab legs from Legal Seafood? While
why
he's
not?
Going?
This would
why
be a not?
Oh, my God. Think about the cross.
We're Boston sports media. We want that stuff. The promotional tie-in. Bill Belichick would promote Steve to quarterback before he would let Jameis Winston play, because Belichick abhors turnovers. That's been like the secret sauce, if you will.
You don't think Bill could fix them?
The extra sauce.
The extra sauce.
And that's my favorite one. Victory sauce. That's my favorite sauce. The secret sauce to the Patriots has been the lack of turnovers for 2 decades.
Yes.
That's what's been so
important. Because the balls have been soft.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. For the saggy balls.
The saggy balls.
Saggy ball sauce. That's my favorite.
It allows Tom Brady's small hands to have a better grip on the football, and the running backs don't turn the ball over.
Tom Brady's hands, he does not have Greg Hill hands.
I'm just making a statement here. It's a joke. I'm trying to be humorous in our final segment here, but the balls are softer here in New England.
Yes. And you know what? And the championships are better. And the beer tastes good because it usually gets tossed to you in a duck boat parade. I would be in for a ground floor reboot. A ground floor, just tear it up.
Do you have faith in Stidham?
Have we seen enough to know that we should have faith in him? No, but will it be fun because it would just be different? Garoppolo, not walking through that door. Tom Brady might be leaving through that door.
Do you think other teams out there that have terrible quarterbacks think, oh, this is fun? Like, there's a pretty good chance he's going to suck.
You can't get Foles because his contract is too massive and the hit would be ridiculous. And that would be ultimately ironic for Tom Brady to leave and then have the quarterback, the bridge quarterback, be the guy who defeated you 2 Super Bowls past.
Who needs a quarterback? Just go with double running backs and reinvent the game.
Sure.
Why not? That'll be fun, too.
Move Edelman to QB.
There you go. Why not? Edelman can do anything out there. He's a former quarterback. Why the hell not?
This is what's going to happen. This is how slap happy all of Boston sports media is going to be if Brady leaves. We're all going to lose our collective minds, and I, for one, will be here for every minute of it.
Julian Edelman, if you can protect him, you could extend his career. I mean, he's going to be done shortly because of the way he goes over the middle, the way he does, the way he plays. But at the quarterback position, he could hang on for another 7 or 8 years.
People have talked about the Patriots maybe making a restricted free agent run at Taysom Hill. The Saints are trying to figure out a way to hold on to him. It's going to be complicated because Breeze is coming back for one, probably this one final season, and they don't want to let Hill go. How much is he going to be worth? Would the Patriots pick up a guy like that and just have a bananas offense, or would they use him as some sort of super weapon, developing him for the future? Who knows?
These are all questions that we don't have answers to, Fitzy, but those answers will be here in just a few
short
weeks.
Brady Watch. Oh, when will they come to an end? I can't wait to know. Please, Don Yee. press for answers you shouldn't get at the combine so we can start hearing movement one way or another.
All right, so I know we got to get out of here. A couple things. Stay tuned. Brian Barrett, he's up next here on WEEI. Tomorrow, Celtics-Lakers, 3:30, nationally televised game. I will be sitting there eagerly watching, anticipating a huge game for the Celtics on the road in L.A. Fitzy, you'll be watching the XFL?
Of course, XFL and Celtics tomorrow as well. If you're in the mood for live comedy tonight, check out our boy Will Hill Show Monday morning, where they will take all of my takes and mock them in between making fun of Christian Fourier, who we thought was awesome on the baseball broadcast today. Red Sox first game, which they win 4-2. With the OMF guys calling the shots.
And tomorrow night, if you're up late, check me out. I'll be on a sports final with Steve Burton around 11:35 tomorrow night.
That's right. And if you need our producer, Dylan, great job today. He will be begging for change outside the local 7-Eleven.
Sounds like a plan. All right, this was fun. Fitzy, we'll do it again next week. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.